We're talking with Coach Gary Carter of Murfreesboro football, led the Red Devils to a second place finish in 4A ball last year. Coach, IHSA finally received approval and released their newest stages of return to play last week. I imagine it's making things a lot easier from a football standpoint to really begin getting prepared.
Yes, it is. You know, before that, it was just conditioning, and then kids don't really enjoy the conditioning side of it. And, you know, we had an opportunity yesterday to get on the field with kids for the first time and have some footballs available and actually teach some, you know, some of our offense, some of our defense and go from there. And hopefully we can continue doing that.
Well, it hasn't messed with a football team's schedule of getting ready too much aside from the added health concerns, but contact days weren't really meant to begin until this month anyway. So, like I said, you know, the football side of things for athletics hasn't been affected too badly by this virus.
Well, it doesn't affect us too much because, you can use your contact days in June on a normal summer. You can start as soon as school's out. You know, for us, usually we just do lifting and things like that and more from a general athletic standpoint, not for football only, but, you know, we usually condition, and then basketball usually takes the month of June, and then we take the month of July. So that's usually how we work it out anyway. So I would say we're about a week behind where we're going to be, maybe 2 weeks behind.
Well, and organized team activities have begun this week for you. I know you just mentioned that. You've got some 7-on-7 practices this Thursday beginning. I've seen things starting to feel a little bit back to normal for football. Has there been anything you've had to change in these grouped meetings due to the virus?
No, it's just, you know, wearing the mask and you know, trying to make sure things are clean and, you know, wiping down, you know, bars and bags and things like that. And it's just you know, you got to pay attention to those things and you know, hopefully not get too close to people and things like that. So it's been different, you know, so, but I mean, it's just something we're just going to have to adjust to.
You know, for the community side of things, it seems like for a lot of communities, it's going to be a big buzz because this is going to be the first kind of big thing for communities to be able to actually conglomerate around. Obviously, there'll be restrictions for people and coming into the games, not nearly a packed crowd, if you will. But, you know, you went through that kind of twice last year with first the teacher strike and then that playoff run going to the state finals. As a coach, what's it like experiencing the buzz and being at the center of, you know, something that's so polarizing for a community?
Well, I mean, our community did an awesome job, you know, getting around us and you know, really, you know, I don't know if I've been to a more electric game than the game we had with Bishop back. So, you know, it was awesome. I mean, it was just to see the support we had and, you know, even on our road trips, our community traveled so well and when we had our bus, we had, you know, police escort, fire escort out of the town and the, you know, Walnut in the Murfreesboro was just, you know, wall to wall people and, you know, people supporting us. It was just phenomenal.
Well, transitioning from that now, is there going to be a football season from what you've heard? Are we going to spring maybe? I know IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson has said, you know, everything's kind of on the table right now. Does it seem to be in the direction we're going to have it in the fall? What have you heard?
Well, that's what I think everybody's shooting for. And, you know, I think, you know, the IHSA is at the mercy of the Department of Health. And so, you know, really it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, you know, with them giving us the opportunity to open up and to do some things with our kids, that's obviously a step in the right direction of where we want to be. We want to go that route. But, you know, you can't worry about things you don't have control over. You just got to do the best you can. I mean, you know, that's all you can do. I mean, like, you know, last year we had a new field put in. We couldn't practice on our field. And we couldn't practice at the same site that we normally practice at. And we had the strike and all those things. I mean, our kids are resilient, and they've just had and our coaches are resilient. We just had an opportunity to overcome and adapt, and that's what we did, and that's what we're going to do this year too.
Shifting focus a little bit now to the roster, Coach. When you look at the roster, more than half of the team last year was seniors. That's tough enough, but then you add in the fact that Last year's team also made it to the state finals. In terms of expectations, this has to be one of the more daunting seasons that you as a coach will be headed into.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be young. We're going to be inexperienced, but you know, we do have 12 seniors returning. So that's definitely a plus. I mean, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, we're going to be a different team week one to week nine of our season this year. But, you know, everybody has to go through the same things. Everybody is going to graduate seniors. Everybody's going to have, you know, high school football is going to be a cycle for most schools. So, you know, everybody we play is going to have somebody they lost that they're going to miss. You know, obviously we miss our 21 seniors, but we have to go forward. And, you know, life goes on, and we have to go to the next group of kids. These kids will work hard, and they'll give us all they got. You know, I look for good things from them.
Well, the ones that you're probably going to be missing the most are Des Clark, Jake Hoppenstead, and then your trio of fullbacks from last year. They were the focal point of your offense, of course. So now that they're all gone to graduation, when you look at the roster, you know, the guy that jumps out to me first on the running back committee would be Peyton Austin, and then maybe Gavin Kuba a little bit are going to be right. Your go-to guys. Those are the ones in my mind, at least. Whoever it is, though, they've got big shoes to fill.
Definitely. You know, we'll get guys ready. I mean, like I said, we have some sophomores that are talented and gifted kids who will bring a lot to the table. But they're young and inexperienced, and it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, hopefully Gavin and Peyton will, you know, can step up and we can get those guys ready because I'm sure we're going to need both Peyton and Gavin on defense. So, you know, not to kill those guys, we're going to have some guys step in, and hopefully we can kind of spell those guys a little bit and then get our young guys ready. And then hopefully by the time we get to conference play in week four that, you know, our kids are ready to roll, all of us. So,
yeah, and you talk about that defense too. You know, those two and then Jaquan Jackson and your pass rush, they're all back. They really made the defense so dominant last year. You know, that's really important to be able to have them there to anchor you as you try to – figure out what this offense is going to look at like, and you know you can depend on them. You know, last year I think it was something like 20 quarters or somewhere they held teams scoreless. So it's good to have, you know, that dominant defense back if nothing else.
Well, definitely. I mean, we're missing some guys. You know, we're going to be missing. You know, obviously, you know, McNitt had a great playoff run on the defensive line. He's gone, and he was a big factor for us. Ren Stearns has a knee injury, and he was probably going to be gone for the season. He's probably not coming out. So that's one we didn't expect to lose. We lost our linebacking core too. So obviously all those guys you named, that were the fullback core, those guys all play defense. I mean, so, you know, that's why I rotated them on offense. And so they play basically one and a third ways. But you're going to miss those guys, you know, tremendously. You know, it's hard to replace a Zane Carraway and, you know, Aiden McNitt and those kind of guys. I mean, they're just great players.
Well, last season coming into the year, you kind of had a quarterback controversy between Jamar McZeek and Ryan Finke. Now it's going to be just the Finke show. What has he shown you the past few months that says he's ready to step into that full-time starter role at quarterback?
Well, he's a kid that I was very pleased when I saw him after the 3 months off. He came in when I first got a chance to look at him. He has been working out. You can tell he's been working out. He's in good shape. Him and his brother both, Ethan's a sophomore, and they've worked out together, and they really haven't missed much at all. I mean, I think they're probably ahead of where they would have been, not ahead, but at least even where they would have been if they hadn't had the shelter-in-place thing. And he's just, you know, he's a super good kid, and he'll play where we want him to play. Like I said, he started as a sophomore. I think he started six games or seven games for us as a sophomore. Split time all the way up to the Benton game last year. He shared reps in practice. So expecting good things from him. And then, you know, behind him, we got, a kid named Caldwell who will, step in Brandon, he'll come in and he'll do a great job. I mean, either one of those guys. We're going to make sure we have two quarterbacks ready because you never know with injuries and things like that. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but knock on wood. But, we'll be prepared for that.
Well, talking about the team losing so many seniors to graduation earlier, is this team going to be as deep as it was last year? I know the freshman squad has struggled to attract players in past years, but you would think a state title run would generate more buzz around town and get more kids interested at the very least.
Well, right now we have 27 freshmen, which is the best we've had in several years as far as numbers, really pleased with the talent that's in that class. It really looks like I'm very optimistic with the kids that are there, from the linemen all the way through the backs and the quarterback and everything. So I feel real good about that. And hopefully, our sophomores, I think we have 14 or 15. But most of those sophomores are going to have to play varsity. So, I mean, I would say at least a good handful of them are going to be in the support cast in some way. So, the freshman class is looking up. I mean, you have 27 kids who have been there at least once, but we're trying to get, I would say we have probably about 20, 21 kids that have been there consistently. If we end up with around 20 kids, I'm very happy, particularly if we can retain those kids throughout a four-year period, then you have a pretty good chance to have a good run when they're seniors.
Absolutely. Well, final question for you. I want to throw a hypothetical at you, but with Sparta leaving the Mississippi division for the River to River, there's been some talk of trying to figure out how are they going to fill that role. Some people have said, let's add someone a little bit further west on the map and then transfer Murfreesboro over to the Mississippi division. If that were to happen, what are your thoughts about competing in that division in this hypothetical situation?
Well, I don't have a lot of control over that. Obviously the easiest thing to do would be to replace the Sparta with somebody else. That would be the easiest thing because the schedules are all set and everything else. But, I'm really not sure why they would want to. I mean, geographically, I'm not sure why you would want to transfer sort of to the other side. But obviously it needs to be reconfigured a little bit because of it. I don't know. My personal opinion, from a football standpoint, I would like to see us have one conference, don't have a split division. That's what will be my preference. My preference would be have 10 teams. Schools that don't like it, I mean, obviously there's 11 schools left. So I don't think you could do it with 11, but if you could figure out who wouldn't be there, but I don't know. You can do the math and the geography and the enrollment size and all that stuff. If you could figure that stuff out and take 10 teams that want to play each other, if you have 10 teams that play each other and there's, it's a closed conference and being the caliber of that conference would be, I think that you would qualify probably three or four teams in the playoffs every year.
Absolutely. I know that it's it's a tough conference to begin with. You go ahead and close it up, it'll get even more tough because both sides, Mississippi and Ohio, want to get into the playoffs and they're all such hard-nosed teams. So I hear you completely. I wouldn't mind seeing that myself. But, Coach, yeah. I wanted to say thank you. I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man, especially as football season is starting to get closer and closer. Things are ramping up. As the voice of the Red Devils especially, we hope to see you roaming the sidelines of Flank Blyers Field at Carbondale opening night, August 28th.
Well, hope so, too. And if we have season, we'll be there.